Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to the Curzon podcast with me, Helen Seymour, and Sam.
Hi, I apologise this week. I'm a bit drippy and throaty and nasally. I have a cold.
Sam is contagious.
I'm contagious, yeah. We have a box of tissues and a tea, so I should be okay. But
you've got a tea and some biscuits.
Caramel-infused biscuits. Nice surprise.
So we are in a good We're in a good place, despite
exactly the infection. Despite my health. A better place than our characters were in yesterday.
We're doing better than them.
Yeah. So yesterday we went to see The Survivalist, which is quite an obscure little British film, directed and written by a guy called Stephen Fingleton. I believe it's his first film, because he was nominated
debut
for a BAFTA over the weekend for Best British Debut. He didn't win, but still.
Shame.
Yeah. And it's a film that I didn't really know much about going in. I don't recognise any of the actors in it particularly. So, Survivalist, what is it about, Helen?
It's about a man in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
There's lovely graphic at the beginning,
mm,
which I really enjoyed.
Did you?
Yeah, okay. Did you?
Not really.
Oh, I thought, wow, this is so...
That was the one bit of the film I didn't like.
I was like, yeah.
Interestingly.
Disagreeing on the graphic.
Yeah.
I like, so there's a graphic right at the beginning that shows the human population going up and the oil production going up, and then the oil production peters off and falls, and with that so does the human population.
So the film's set after some kind of apocalyptic-ish event where the fossil fuels have run out and humanity's just completely is separated. There seems to be a major lack of food. And people living these sort of weird little... You don't really see many people, to be honest, but you see... There's a discussion of, like, camps.
Yeah.
So people have returned to the wild, essentially.
Why didn't you like the...
It felt just... I felt like I didn't need it. It felt... Because I think that the film doesn't really ever go into detail about what has specifically happened. And I quite liked that, and I would have liked, because I think there's a long running history of these kind of post apocalyptic films, and usually it involves oil or some sort of resource running out.
Mm.
And I just felt I didn't need to know that oil had run out for this world to happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like it could have been told through the drama rather than this weird little graph. And the rest of the film's so naturalistic that this weird gliding line. It just felt from another film, I thought. But
Mark Kermode agrees with me.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's on my team.
Well,
he says that, yeah, haiku-like precision. Haiku-like precision. I can't say that word.
Precision.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Which is a really beautiful way of saying it.
It is. It wasn't terrible. It was just, I thought, did we need that? It's kind of like...
Some might say we're talking too much about this line.
I think so. It's important. The line is important.
It's just a nice beginning.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice. I do know what you mean, because it is very different from the rest of the film.
But I know what you mean as well. That it's nice to have some form of context, but I just felt it was a bit unnecessary. It's like when films begin with a text or like just giving you, sometimes giving you too much information than you need. I just think, oh, just let that, leave the mystery and just let it be gradually known to the audience through the drama.
Mm, okay.
But so then, yeah, you see this guy who's never named. He's got a very snazzy hairdo. He's got sort of shaved heads.
I was wondering about that. And how did he manage that?
I don't know. He looked cool.
Yeah.
So he's living in this a shed, essentially, in the woods. And he has this kind of mini farm around him where he's growing vegetables to eat. The first sort of, what do you think, 10, 15 minutes are just him.
Yeah.
He goes out, he makes building fires. He's burning photographs from his past. So I think it's clear that he is the survivalist. Instantly you know that. He lives on his own in the woods. You see him dragging a body. But that's
right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning. That's pretty much the first shot after the graphic. And he just has this very lonely life. And then these two women appear. Also, you know, from this new world where humanity has fallen. They are hungry and they join him in this shed, and they have this kind of uneasy relationship going on
where they trade things
certain favors for food,
yeah,
and the film just goes on from there about how these three characters are trying to survive together and how they're just living off each other. Essentially, it's a really interesting film. I highly recommend going in cold, as we did. So what did you think of the main character who's solely credited as being called the survivalist?
The survivalist.
It's Martin McCann, the actor.
Yeah, really good. In fact, all of them I really liked. Yeah,
convincing.
Yeah.
Very convincing.
He does... Obviously, it's quite difficult because he's, for the beginning of the film, just on his own. And he's got to portray... No dialogue. Yeah. He's got to portray a lot through his eyes without it looking too over the top. And he does that really well. He has a kind of animalistic quality to him, which obviously
very
makes
jumpy.
Total sense.
And his eyes are just there. No, the deer caught in headlights expression. As soon as he hears a slight sound, he's on it. He's poised and ready.
He's out with his gun and he's ready.
So he's a wild man, essentially, living in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he goes and looks at the photos, you see a bit of the humanity.
Yeah.
So it's a nice... It's a really strong performance and a really nice opening to the film, just to have him not really talking.
Definitely. I was thinking yesterday, with a lot of these post-apocalyptic films, you have an opening with no dialogue quite often. So, fun examples, but WALL-E.
Yeah.
Opening of WALL-E, there's no dialogue for the first like half hour, roughly.
Ages.
Yeah. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. For a while, it's just the apes in the jungle with no...
Is it Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No, that'd be Dawn. Rise was the first one. And then Dawn. Yeah. Which is kind of funny because it makes sense that Dawn and then Rise.
This is what we talk about a lot
within
my family. That I always get it the wrong way around.
It doesn't make sense. It should be Dawn, then Rise. But
yeah, but then you rise before Dawn. That's apparently
the
thing.
That's true, yeah. Oh yeah, I guess so. I don't rise before dawn, but...
No.
This whole idea of silence and the end of the world is kind of mirrored here. And there's also a lot of Mad Max comparisons, I think.
There's been loads.
Because, first of all, the setting, post-apocalypse, but the character, in every single Mad Max film, whether it's Mel Gibson or Tom Hardy, the character has barely said a word.
Mm-hmm.
He has very little dialogue, and the same here. This main character, who's a man who's clearly scarred by this new world, and so he's completely an internal character, and that was nice to see. There's also something I thought quite mythical about him.
Yeah.
And his hair actually helped that, because his hair's kind of like when they used to do these kind of sword and sandals movies. That's kind of the hairstyle. Like Spartacus has a similar kind of hairstyle.
Yeah.
So he's made this kind of mythic figure, and he often wears a onesie, which was interesting.
I really enjoyed his choice of onesie.
But his costume's great, and it's very... It's kind of... You could tell it's from our world, Earth, but has been manipulated to become this kind of post-world costume.
One of the women later on is wearing a thermal vest for Marks and Spencer's.
Really?
Because I own that thermal vest. Like,
so you're prepared.
I've got that. I've got part of the kit. Yeah, so you're, and some of it looks a bit like it's from Millets, like
yeah,
the raincoat,
like camping yeah, wear, definitely English camping wear.
I really enjoyed because it it wasn't going too over the top. That it was, they had like skins or
I don't even, they weren't really like animal skins or they weren't wearing like someone's skull who they'd killed as a client. Yeah, it wasn't like, it was not, it's not like Mad Max in that respect.
No.
But it, there's not like tribes.
Which
crazy.
I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's, considering it's essentially science fiction, it's very realistic.
Mm.
There's a lot of realism going on and there's a lot of sort of slow takes of not much really happening. Which is nice for this kind of film, I think.
Not much sound apart from the sound of nature.
No score, I believe. No musical accompanying score. Yeah, like you said, just nature. And there's often, I think there's one scene where the daughter is just, she has a spoon and she's just hitting it against a wall for a while. And that's just, it goes on for quite a while. Just the silence and then just everything, ding, ding. So yeah, just, it's very calm and tranquil at times. But then, we'll talk about this a bit later on, but there's also scenes of extremely explosive, like, violence and sex. So it's very sort of calm, 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 and then something massive will happen, like something really shocking, and then calm, 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 which is quite like nature, I guess.
And it gives you this feeling of paranoia throughout the film.
There's a scene where, before he meets the two women, you see a hand touch his shoulder, but there's no one there. But that did start, that did make me jump.
Me too.
I was like, oh, that would be horrible. Yeah. So that was good. Yeah, they get the sense of paranoia across really well.
Especially with the sounds of nature. And then sometimes it sounds, he set up a sort of wind chimey thing in the tree. So he knows
that's the warning. Yeah.
If someone's coming near. And you do think, oh, was that the wind chime? Or was that the, was that just a noise from the woods?
Yeah. It's in many ways a horror film as well, in places.
Yeah, it doesn't manipulate the audience as much.
It's not, there's no jump scares. I know I said I jumped, but that's not a jump scare, essentially.
No.
There's nothing like that, but it's just the tone and the atmosphere is kind of horror-ish.
It's
some
very
of the imagery.
Bleak.
Bleak is the perfect word
bleak
for this
film.
Bleak
is the word.
Yeah. We should say, if you are of the faint-hearted, this is not probably a film for you.
I would agree.
I mean, it's always good to try new things, and especially this, a very small, independent British film, but
if you can't get through an episode of Casualty, don't watch this.
There's some great amateur surgery as well going on. Right, let's talk about the two female characters, who are the kind of the game changer in the film. They completely... So I think he's been on his own, him and his brother, for quite a while. And then, so he's been on his own for quite a bit, but then something happens and he's on his own, and these two women come and completely change everything. What did you think of those characters?
I really liked how realistic they were in their introduction.
Very frank.
Because he's really scared of this noise.
Yeah.
He hears someone coming, and then he bursts the door open with his gun. And then it's just two women who, like I said, they look like they're camping. Like, very normal, and they're just like, hello.
Yeah. Can we have food? Can we have shelter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and there I felt... We'll get more into them, I guess, in the spoilery part, but what they do when they first arrive was quite a surprise to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this film is going somewhere. I did not expect it to go. And it's interesting that your protagonist, your main character, does that. And goes along with that.
Yeah.
I thought that's really interesting. I think it's important, he's not heroic particularly.
No.
Considering he doesn't talk much, but he's a very interesting main character in that, he kind of, in many ways, an anti-hero, but I guess the point of the film is that everyone in this new world is in it for themselves, like, is trying to be a survivalist. All they want to do is survive for many means necessary, and he's part of that too.
It's a film where the rules have changed.
Yeah.
Everything's changed. And there are moments where you are starkly reminded of that.
Yeah. And it's nice to see a film with... Because we've seen this... Like I said earlier, we've seen there's so many films of this post-apocalyptic world where the rules have changed. Life is unrecognisable. But it's nice to see it on such a small scale. there are three main characters and then maybe a handful of others who pretty much have no dialogue. Mm-hmm. They're just in there. So, yeah, it's a tiny film. Really tiny. It must have cost nothing to make, but it really works. And with just using three characters, you can completely understand this world. The world building is very strong from being set in one location with three people, which is really impressive.
It's so green.
Very green, yeah. Considering everyone's starving, because usually in these films, everything's like a desert or a wasteland. But here, you're right, everything's exactly. Bright green.
And there's sunlight.
Yeah.
And it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
And then that beauty is immediately juxtaposed by us, the humans, being horrendous.
Do. Yeah.
But not in a too...
it's not sadistic.
Over the top way.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Let's we should talk about the amount of violence in the film without spoiling.
Yeah, so it's an 18.
Yeah, which it earns that rating, I think. It's the thing with the violence, it's very real violence, and I don't think it's ever done to be sensationalist. Like it's not like Saw or Hostel, it's not like torture porn. It's all done just to emphasize the lawless world that these people live in, and the fact that everyone's reverted back to an animal, essentially, and it's kill or be killed, eat or be eaten kind of thing.
But all those words, it's really funny, because you were saying all those words, and the immediate thing that comes in my head when I imagine that is like a really strong soundtrack.
Yeah.
And the idea of someone running, yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's not.
It's not that at all.
It's so quiet and calm. Like, even probably the most violent scene is over like that. Mm. But it is like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm quite a hardened horror film watcher.
I hate horror films.
I'm a big horror film fan. So, and I've seen my fair share of disgusting things happen on screen.
But I do watch Call the Midwife.
Ah. That actually does go places sometimes. I've seen a couple where it's been
and
like,
24 Hours in A&E, which is quite gory.
Yeah.
I'm okay with gore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it depends. This is not, like we said, this isn't someone's head being lobbed off and blood spraying everywhere. That kind of violence. It's real. It's no worse than what you'd see on 24 Hours in A&E or something. Mm. But it is.
No.
Yeah, that sound.
I think I made that sound.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. There was one that was. Oh, I.
Did you go? Oh no.
Oh no. I actually did this at one point. I grabbed like my jumper and sort of pulled it
He's
up.
He's hiding his face.
There was one, we'll talk about it in a bit, but there was one bit that's really, I really didn't want to happen. I was like, please, please don't do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this in the film.
I think everyone felt that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you get from this film that's so quiet. You get moments of, ugh!
Yeah, the violence is sort of instantaneous. It's like it is in nature, I guess. I sort of compare it to, you can compare it to like an animal hunting its prey.
Mm.
Like, it's not drawn out, it's just, it jumps, attacks it and kills it, it's over. And that's what this world has become for these people. So, I think, we should put out, this film is available on Curzon Home Cinema. So, you don't even have to leave your house to watch it.
It's a great one if you want something a bit different.
It's really different from, because we've just had awards season, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's, to an extent, still going on now, but this is a really nice parallel to that.
I found it a breath of fresh air.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, considering how bleak it is, it was quite a treat, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to watch this really small obscure film every now and then.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. So, we're going to ruin it. Yeah. So if you haven't seen the film, look away.
Oh, it's only 1 hour 44. I can say that.
Yes,
before,
nice and short.
Which is short. Nearing my favourite length of film, 1 hour 30, which is 1 hour 30
90 minutes. Yeah, lovely.
Okay, spoiler town.
Yeah. Attempted abortion. That was as horrible as it was, that was probably the best, one of my favourite scenes in the film.
It's so real.
Because you see her early, so, we should point out, if you obviously you see the film, you know that the favour, so he lets them, these two women into his house, and the mother essentially offers her daughter to him have sex with them, him in return for food, which he does. And that was like, wow, this is interesting. Like, no Hollywood film would have their main character taking up that offer.
Mm.
And here he is. So they're having sex, and you see her at one point, you see her early on, she has her period, and she goes to clean this sort of mock sanitary towel that she has.
Which, can I say, hooray that a film is dealing with this,
yeah.
Because they are in the woods, and it's...
So many films.
Yeah, just like, skip that bit. And they show him cleaning himself as well.
Show him masturbating as well.
Yeah.
Which was, a breath of fresh air in a kind of sick way. Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's
it
just...
It was
a relief to kind of see that and think, well, thank goodness this film is dealing with this situation.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously we just said about the abortion, so she obviously gets pregnant.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful that you saw her...
She clips off a bit of a barbed wire fence earlier on. I don't know if you know. You noticed,
I was like, well, I don't know what she's going to do.
I didn't know. I was like, I didn't really think much of it.
That's because I watched Call the Midwife. Call
the Midwife.
I've seen it happen before. That's what's so frightening.
Yeah,
like, this is what
happen.
Women
yeah, have to do.
Have to do if it's not legal. That's genuinely what they do. So. As soon as she did that, I thought, oh, no.
And she heats the poker.
Still alive.
And so she's about to do it, and she's slowly pushing it in. But this scene is also cut in with a scene of a rabbit.
Actually, that was one of my favourite bits.
Gradually getting towards a trap. And you're waiting for these two things. So on one end, you're waiting for her to actually put the piece of metal...
To have the abortion.
And at the same time, that you're also tense, waiting for this trap to go and kill the rabbit. And it's sort of, the rabbit's dancing around this trap, and then it comes back, and she's gradually going in, and she's crying, and it's like, oh my god, this is... Ah. But then, when it doesn't happen, it's even more impressive, I thought.
Yeah.
The rabbit just goes away, and then she stops. Yeah. That was more impressive than if she did it.
Well, I was really, as well as being invested in the character and not wanting it to happen, I was thought, where are they going to go with this?
Yeah, it would be a bit meaningless if she did have the... But be, oh, okay. I mean, on one hand, that's quite interesting to show it. That's what you have to do in this new world, but at the same time, that just ends that aspect of it.
Well, but also, I mean, doing it in that way, then it's like... She could die.
Yeah, that adds another whole level of complications.
There would be a whole new story to it if that had happened. And obviously, you know...
And I think he needed to live on as well.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
Did you... So, there's the whole thing of the mother would quite like to kill him and take his shed and his farm. But the daughter is obviously... I don't know. It's not that she's falling in love with him.
No,
it's that she's...
That's too...
I just think she actually says, like, he's useful.
Yeah.
Because there's one point where she's kidnapped by a guy whose character name is The Snatcher.
Yeah.
Which I quite like.
Me too.
I like to believe that's his real name as well. Mr. Snatcher. First name The.
Yeah. You do films. What sort of roles do you do? Mainly
snatching
roles.
Yeah. Kidnapping. And he... He saves... Well, this is where he gets his injury because he's shot in the stomach by the snatcher before he stabs the snatcher in the throat. And she's like, oh no, he's useful, which I like. And then there's a kind of strangely beautiful scene where the mother and daughter get naked and sort of surround him.
Back to her. I wasn't really sure what was going on there.
I think that's body heat.
Yeah, I did that just at first. I was like...
See, Helen, when you're in this situation.
Yeah, there are moments where you'll be like, what's happening here?
Mm.
So there's one bit that we both don't really understand.
We just talked about this, yeah. Slightly. I don't know if we're supposed to be confused or it's the
but
funny
tell
editing.
Us, tell us, yeah. Listeners, what happened, if you've seen it. So he gets the wound from the thing and they cauterize it.
That was great. Like, full on.
Full
he's
on.
He's screaming his head off as well when that happens. He's trying to restrain it. And you see the. I like when you see the veins in his shoulders.
Yeah. You never see a shoulder vein. Yeah. And then it. Well, as we said before the podcast, I thought it was healing well.
Yeah, he pulled it down and. I mean, it's a bit.
Gooey.
Pussy, but that's natural.
But
I
he's
believe.
Just. I Maybe? Yeah. I mean, when you've been shot.
When I was shot.
when you.
Well, I had a motorbike accident in Thailand, and on my knee I had a big gash, and it looked like that for quite a while.
I think I've had some wounds.
And they are gooey. And,
yeah, kind of gross. Yeah.
Very gross,
I mean,
but it's like, okay, just... that means it's healing, I'm told. But
that's...
then in the next scene...
So, well, then he goes off to his sort of morgue that he's set up in the woods. I mean, it's not really a morgue, but it's
a
graveyard.
Morgue,
and he lies down.
He has like
little
tags on the toes.
he lies down next to one of the things, and then you don't see anything else. And then in the next scene, maggots in the wound.
Yeah, that was one of the worst. Like, I think I actually he walks into he looks at the wound and there are maggots in it, and then goes into and goes. I think I'm ill. And I was like, yeah, you bloody are. I wasn't sure if...
So now I'm not sure, did he inflict the maggots on himself?
So they would help him?
Well, I had no idea what he was doing, because if you have a wound, do not open it near a dead body.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit unclear.
I really don't
know.
Write
in and help us, because we are struggling with that one.
That I'm not sure whether he... But I don't understand, because if he wanted to die, there are quicker ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So they nurse him back to health.
Through body heat.
And for a while they get along, but...
Everything is well
everything
again.
Everything's fine, it's like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Bong, 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 bong. The mum still wants to kill him, which I liked. She's not...
She's hard.
She's a hard... I think that was a... She's a really nice character because it seems clear that she's been in this world longer than the daughter.
Mm.
And she knows... what you need to do to survive. And she said, oh, there's not enough food for three people. We have to kill it.
It's also a really beautiful scene of her bathing.
Yeah, I liked that scene as well, yeah.
Which, again, you rarely see older women.
Older women's bodies.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of nudity
that
in
that was
this
really
film.
Naturalistic.
But yeah. But
like she looks
said,
really beautiful in the water.
Yeah. With her very long,
long
silver hair.
Hair.
Yeah. And so She tells the daughter to poison him with mushrooms.
Well, actually, she tells the daughter to slit his throat.
Oh, yeah. And the daughter
wants to do
mushrooms.
Says,
yeah.
I think I'll use some mushrooms instead. Because what happens, of course...
She gives it to the mum.
When did you realise that was happening?
I think I'd kind of guessed that would happen anyway.
Well done.
Thank you. I
didn't realise till the mum was walking out the door.
I did think it would be a weird end if they just poisoned him.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, so I thought, I reckon she may be... Because she does... Like, there was a whole thing of him eating the mushroom. And I thought, that's a bit too on the nose for this film.
I was hooked in. I was tricked.
They got you.
They did.
You've been had.
They got me good. So then her mum says there's room enough for two, and she thinks that's right, there is.
What did you think about that? Did you think that this girl is evil, this girl hates her mum, or this girl is a survivalist and thinks, no, this is actually the only way I'm going to survive because I need
him.
This man, this strong man
baby.
Who has a gun, and I've got his. I'm the mother to his unborn child.
And she says... Before, mum, you're getting old.
Yeah. So it's, and this is another
it's
thing.
Bleak.
About the
I mean,
film.
It's all awful.
It's quite unemotional. As
really
well.
Unemotional.
Like, there's no kind of goodbye to the mum. The mum just accepts that, and she just goes outside and waits for him to come and slit her wrists for her.
Which is shown graphically.
Yeah, a lot of blood. Yeah, there is no real emotion in the film, which is funny. But that worked. I didn't feel like it lacked it.
Yeah.
It's just in this world, as we've been saying over and over again. It's not the world we know. There's no room for emotions anymore because they're animals now. They have to just do what they can to survive. And the emotions will just get in the way. Even when, so he talks about his brother. That's probably the closest the film comes to any emotion. And
well,
even then,
at the end, the last line shows some humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, the end. What did you think of the end? So should we slowly round this up? How did you, the film, the direction it goes once the mother is killed, and then from there to the last scene, what did you think
so,
of that?
We probably don't really need to talk about...
Not all in full detail,
the whole
but just...
thing. The end...
The fact that he is killed and essentially sacrifices himself to save her.
There's this really lovely bit where, actually there is, towards the end there's tiny little moments of humanity coming back. Because he says the line that a million people must have said in films, which is run.
Mm.
But he says it just really quietly and like in a way.
The way
it's so good.
Delivered very well.
He says it like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is obvious.
Run. Yeah.
Run.
Yeah. That worked.
Rather than going, run!
Get out of here! Save yourself! Come
yeah.
on and help me! Yeah. Just run. That was a nice little moment. His end, I think he ends in a good way for his character. So he's killed by essentially what he is, just these, what he used to be anyway. Kind of like a raider going around to different camps, stealing food, killing people. Because it's kind of insinuated that that's what him and his brother used to do.
Yeah, it is. I think
it's quite. I mean,
says.
He says that we used to raid camps, but not to that. There was no like description of exactly what they used to do. But
no,
I kind of
true.
Get the impression.
No,
it felt like they were him and his brother would used to go around and do what these people have done to them. I thought maybe.
Yeah, I think everyone. So the three main people, they've all killed people to get where they are.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot that they've broken through.
Yeah.
And done terrible things.
Yeah. So the final moment. So the girl is it Mia? She's called. I think it's M-I-J-A-H.
M-I-L-J.
M-I-L-Mia.
Mia.
Yeah,
the actress's name is Mia,
Mia Goth,
which is what I want to call her.
She's
Mia.
In Nymphomaniac, I believe, momentarily. The end.
She's great, we haven't really talked about her.
Yeah,
she's
really good. Nice. In some respects, quite passive, but very fitting for this world. So she goes to this kind of militarized farm.
Yeah, that's what I'd call it.
Yeah, that was interesting. So that's
what was that, Sam?
I'm not really sure
yeah,
what that was.
Neither.
I was not confused, but it was a sudden change.
Well, you suddenly see tarmac with a
yeah,
with a little
like,
bit of
okay,
green growing through it, which was lovely.
I was
lovely.
Curious where that was going.
Yeah,
and then you get it's a farm where the other farmers. Do you think they are captive? Because
she had to give in all her stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people like on sort of crow's nest type things with, you know, military people.
Seemed pretty prisony.
Yeah, it was a weird little. I don't know if that's the only remaining government that's left, that this is what they've become, in order to start food production again. And that maybe the people living in the woods are against the government.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's a nice thing of the mystery of the film, the ambiguity. Mm. Which works well, and it's good. It ends very ambiguously as well. That she kind of goes into this place, but it's not clear what the hell this place is.
Yeah.
And there's no reference made at all before the film that these kind of places exist.
No, they don't talk about it.
No.
So, the last line.
Yeah.
So, while she's waiting to see if she, I guess, to see if she can be taken into the camp, the woman says, when are you going to have your baby?
Yeah, 6 months, I think.
And then the woman says, Do you know what you'd call it? And she says, if it's a boy.
And then the film ends. And
love it.
The Survivalist. So she's going to call it The Survivalist.
The Snatcher.
I assumed, because before that, he says to her, my brother's name was Augustus.
Yeah, I assume she's going to call it Augustus.
She's now going to call the baby Augustus. Which
but
is,
that's what I mean, because they're
but
humanity.
But they don't need to say that. That's humanity coming through.
And it's his legacy.
Yeah. There we go. Helen solves the film.
Still don't understand the bit.
The maggots.
Yeah. Did he make the maggots come intentionally? Tell me. Leave a comment.
Well, so any final word?
It's bleak, but worth watching.
Yeah.
A breath of fresh air.
Yeah. If you have award season,
a little bit different.
If you have award season blues,
yeah.
You're bored of American actors shouting.
This is
and getting very
being.
Stressed out.
Which maybe I was a little bit.
I think so. I think we've reviewed really good films, but they've all been. I think they're all nominated for Oscars. Mm. They're all very.
Is this up for best, or was that the BAFTA?
This was
Oscar.
Up for best British debut.
Not writing.
I think as a writer.
As a writer, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. If you're tired of the spotlights, the Trumbos, the Revenants, the Rooms, go and seek this.
Find it out. Or get it on Curzon.
Curzon Home Cinema, or go to a Curzon, because I think they're generally going to be the only cinemas really showing it, because it's such a small, independent little film.
It's really worth it. And it was the middle of the day and there were quite a few people with us.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Performed quite well,
yeah.
Considering it's this, it's so small.
And I like the end. They did the credits, black and white.
I was about to say that. Yeah, when it flashed up, The Survivalist.
And it's really bright.
So bright, yeah, bright white with black writing. Yeah.
Just little things like that. Lots of attention to detail.
Definitely. So that's the end of the show. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.